Hi, it's Tony. On today's show, we'll talk to Michael Wilbon about the beginning of the NBA playoffs. Boy, do these games go by so quickly. It's hard to believe that it will all be over in, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. And we'll also chat with Pat Forty about the exodus of Duke players from that basketball team. But first, commerce.
Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Capitals are a true underdog in every sense of the word in this situation. I mean, there's a relatively respectable chance that they win, albeit, you know, it's pretty low.
I should ask you, I just assumed you know hockey and you still know hockey. Have you followed hockey at all this year? Do you know what you're talking about? It'd be nice if you
did. I do,
yeah.
Why? Okay, what did I say that was wrong?
I don't know, because I don't know anything about hockey.
Yeah, I'm a genius.
I don't know. All right.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All right, let's start with Jolene Wojcik, who went to the Masters because she goes every single year.
Always sits at the 18th.
She sits at the 18th hole. You know, she leaves Grand Island, Nebraska, and she goes to the Masters. She writes another Masters in the books. My sister Sandra went with me this year. We both have fond memories of taking our mom to the Masters. Bittersweet memories this year as our mom passed away last June at the age of 91. She always used her Masters golf balls and ball markers in her ladies' league at the Quail Run Golf Course in Columbus, Nebraska. She absolutely loved it when she was able to tell all the gals she was actually going to the Masters. As they say, she watched this year from the best seat in the house. I've enclosed a few goodies. First, some Masters can holders, green for you and Michael, pink for Carol and Liz. I think they'd be perfect for soda or seltzer at the beach house. The yellow Masters cup sleeve is for Nigel, along with the Masters plastic cup. I've enclosed the Masters mini gnome, maybe not as coveted as the large Masters gnome, currently selling for $400 on eBay, but still rare enough that Augusta only allows one per person, and they are sold out within 30 minutes of the opening. Maybe this little caddy gnome could make an appearance on PTI. Yes. Yes. FYI, Keegan Bradley, Justin Rose, Camilo Villegas, and Tony Finau all wore Air Jordans to golf in. Vijay Singh golfed in his blue, yellow, and Masters green Hokas. Mr. Tony, have you ever golfed in your Hokas? No, I haven't done that.
But Greg Garcia does golf in his Hokas.
I've used golf shoes. I've used, you know, golf shoes. And from Bruce Rubin, and this is in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. This goes out to everybody out there who listens, and maybe you can help. Good morning and a sweet and happy Passover to you and your family. I have a unique request. I am the captain now. I am the captain of a 3-on-3 basketball team that competes in the National Senior Games and other venues. We need 3 to 5 more players to keep our team in contention and would like if the players would be 6'5" or taller. They must be able to travel to tournaments, and here is the hard part. They must be 80 years old by December 31st this year.
A 6'5 program height or current?
Thank you for any and all assistance. I mean, what are we talking about here? 6'5 and 80, even if you were 6'8 or 6'9, you would shrink to under 6'5 by 80.
Maybe not if you're on those synthetic knees and at 80. That's pretty likely.
Wow, 80. You got to be 80.
I'm assuming that Larry Brown has to be involved in this as well, right?
I don't know. I mean, Larry's certainly not 6'5 or over. Larry's 5'10.
But he can get the most out of this team, I would think.
I guess. That's remarkable to me.
6'5", 80 years old.
That's just remarkable to me. Anyway, so I had a question. I asked Wilbon this. I'm not going to go over it today with Wilbon. I'm not going to do it. But I was watching TV yesterday. I was watching the golf because I couldn't stand the NBA anymore. I mean, I just, you know,
live golf
games,
or are you on tape delay at that point, or don't you know?
I think it was not live. I think it was recorded earlier, but it was not tape delay. And I was going back and forth with the women and the men. I'll get to that. And I don't know what I was watching when this happened, but Tiger came on. There's a commercial where Tiger's selling Bridgestone balls. And you can buy 3 packs of Bridgestone balls for what appears to be a significant discount. Or maybe it's 4 for a significant discount. And Michael, you use Bridgestone golf balls.
I do use a Bridgestone golf ball. I rotate, but yes.
Yeah.
Tour BX.
Well, here was the big thing to me. He was wearing a Nike red shirt. When was this filmed?
Probably 6 months ago.
If you're Tiger now, he's wearing a Tiger Woods hat and a Nike red shirt. You got to go to Sunday Red, right?
You would think, but this is what becomes tricky when you try and extricate yourself from any long-standing relationship, because that footage is
they
owned by
They may have a deal.
Bridgestone,
right.
Yeah.
That's right. So I noticed that right away. And as I said,
thought it was going to be an appeal. Please support our tour. We know that ratings are down.
I watched a lot of the golf, the women's and the men's. Nelly Korda won her fifth straight tournament.
Five.
And this was a major. This was the Chevron. This was a major. That had a rain delay earlier in the week, but it was fine yesterday. And I read a story earlier this week by Gene Wong in the Post, in which somebody in the LPGA described Nelly Korda as our Caitlin Clark. No. Uh-uh. Nelly Korda is the best golfer in the world. She joins, you know, Nancy Lopez and Annika Sorenstam in history. She's great.
Think about the separation from that. For Lopez, it was 1978, and Annika was 04-05.
But
that's putting this in historical perspective.
Right. So that's three in 50 years. Three people have done this in 50 years. Nelly Korda is great. But Caitlin Clark is a phenomenon. Caitlin Clark brought people to watch her play and brought them to television to watch her play. If you're going to invoke that name, you got to be able to do that. And the LPGA does not. She's not that. Maybe she will be. And we all wish it to her. Maybe as the publicity gets greater and greater. And Nelly Korda comes from an incredibly athletic family.
Sure.
Her father, Peter, was a world-class tennis player who I think may have won a major, but certainly got to the finals of a major or two.
Yeah.
She has a sister, Jessica, right?
Yes.
Who's also a great golfer. And her brother, Sebastian, is that his name?
Yep, Sebastian is a terrific player.
And he's a terrific player. It's a great
tennis
athletic family.
Say, yeah.
Great athletic family. But you can't just invoke Caitlin Clark like that. It doesn't work. The LPGA has a long way to go to draw the kinds of crowds that Caitlin Clark drew in person at these games and to draw the ratings on television.
Peter Korda won the Australian Open in 1998, was a finalist at the French Open in 92.
Yeah, so very, he was a world-class tennis player.
Yeah, very accomplished player.
Yeah, I think it's the professional status where I'd put pause there, because you'd love to just sort of carry on the tradition of what Annika did in terms of growing that sport.
Yes.
But the big thing is this comes down to, for TV, of choices as to how you put these programs on. They made a choice with Caitlin Clark over these last two seasons, and let's see what that does for women's golf, particularly when you look at what's happened in the men's game over these last couple of years.
And where the ratings are down.
Ratings down, but
and
also
maybe this
just
is
general
the
interest down.
Maybe this is the opportunity for the women's game. I'll tell you this. On 17, she's up by two. 17 is a par three. The other two women in the group, or maybe there's three, whoever it is, a couple of them had good shots. Not great shots, good shots. Some ran off the green. She hit the hole with her shot. She hit the hole. It spun a little bit and landed 6 or 7 feet away. She missed the birdie putt. She didn't need it. She was up. You know, she won comfortably on 17 and 18. On 18, a par five, she got on in two. She has an eagle putt. She's going to win the tournament. She has an eagle putt, and then she hits a birdie putt. You know, I mean, she's absolutely great at this point. She's really great. And she is in that category of Nancy Lopez and Annika Sorenstam, an all-time great.
If you make the comparisons, you know, across the tours, you're looking at what Scottie Scheffler has done even the last couple months, and you would have loved for both of those tournaments to finish on Sunday.
So let us get to Scottie Scheffler right now. Scottie Scheffler... This is 8:05 in the morning on Monday. The resumption of the Hilton Head tournament started 5 minutes ago. I had this wrong. I was playing golf the other day with Bob Easby Smith, and he said this was a signature event. Because I had said, I'm amazed that Scottie Scheffler, after winning the Masters, is going to play in this event. I figured he'd take the week off. And Bob said to me, well, it's a signature event. I said, no, it's not. And I was wrong. I flushed the mouse on that one. I was completely
trying
wrong.
To make RBC happy with this one.
And you're right. And Bob, you know, and Bob was right. And I looked at the field, and it's an awfully good field.
And it's a no-cut event. Not right. All the signatures are no-cut.
Scottie Scheffler, at the moment, although they're on whatever hole they're on, I think he's got three to go. So they're starting on. He's starting on 16. Was five shots up. He's going to win this. He's going to win 4 out of 5. I mean, he's the best player in the world by a mile right now. He's five shots up. And after the first day, he was 5 or 6 back.
Back.
5 or 6 back. When you watch him hit second shots, they are remarkable. They're so often within 15 feet.
And just remember, this was a course that for the last couple of years, even when it had smaller, you know, weaker fields, it'd be players say, this is a chance for me because it's a second shot course. And, you can not necessarily be the longest driver of the golf ball. That Scottie Scheffler comes through, boom, takes it down.
He made a par on 15 after going into the water. He'd only had one bogey in like the last 8 weeks or whatever it is. He made a par after going into the water. That's really hard. No, he's right. He's the best.
Surgical.
Yeah. How long does this go on?
So again, when he won that first Masters, he had that great, you know, wave of golf leading up to it with one or two quick wins. And I think you look at the new condensed major schedule, and that's how we're going to measure all these players. You think, can he get from two to a quick four or five, the same way Brooks Koepka got to that three or four majors very quickly? Rory did this over a decade ago. But now that you have the PGA, the U.S. Open, the Open Championship, back to back to back.
Yeah, they're really close.
Now you just wonder what is going to be the effect of fatigue because of these elevated events where you're just traveling, playing more.
He's playing great right now. By the way, the Nats won on Saturday and Sunday.
Win. How about that?
The Nats Saturday win was great. They were down in the ninth.
A lot of fun in the dugout.
Astros, and they're celebrating their championship, their fifth anniversary of the championship that they never really got a good run on because of the pandemic.
Right. There was, yeah. Sort of
so they got
the
some people back, you know, who played on the team. Howie Kendrick was there. Ryan Zimmerman was there. Some other people were there. They're down
the
2 runs in the ninth, and the Astros put in Ryan Pressly, right, who's their number one reliever. He got nothing done. He should have been with the Nats. He should have been Robert Garcia, where Robert Garcia goes in the game, and two batters later, Davey has to yank him because he's no good. So they tied it in the ninth, and they won it in the tenth. And the most important play was not on offense. The most important play was a man on third. Jose Altuve was on third. He's going to the Hall of Fame, kids.
Yeah.
Okay? He's on third, and there's a fly ball, foul territory in right. And Altuve is going to tag up, and Lane Thomas is going to throw. Lane Thomas throws a perfect one-hop throw. I think Riley Adams was playing catcher. Mm-hmm. And they tag Altuve out easily. It's the best play of the year. I mean, you're not going to get a better play than this. It's so great. And then they come up and Meneses hits a walk-off to the wall in right field, one bounce to the wall, and they win that. Then, and that was for Trevor Williams, who's real good. Trevor Williams won 6 innings, allowed 3 hits and 1 earned, 77 pitches.
What
and
about
yesterday,
the kid yesterday?
Yesterday they got a guy, Mitchell Parker. I don't know who he is. I don't know who he is, but he's apparently beaten the Dodgers and the Astros. He went 7
first
innings.
Two starts.
Didn't give up any earned.
That's pretty good, right?
It's really good. And you're probably saying, well, aren't you going to talk about the NBA? No. Wilbon is going to talk about the NBA. I had NBA fatigue. I can't watch 8 games in 2 days.
Well, it's tough that the Wizards missed the playoffs again this year.
Well, they only missed it by 45 games. Like, it wasn't like they weren't close.
You were all in for the Cap second period. Kept it close.
I missed that. But didn't the
Caps
give up?
2 goals in 33 seconds.
Yeah. Whoops. Like, they put themselves out of it pretty early.
Yeah. Well, the Rangers are the best team in the league, so.
Yeah, but it's been a lot of years since the team that wins the President's Trophy.
Caps also, know that well.
Yeah, they didn't do it either. Also wins the playoffs. So, anyway. All right, that's all I got. So we'll take a break, and Michael Wilbon will join us when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Liquid IV read. With that summer feeling running wild, you need hydration that keeps up with every moment. This would have been perfect last week, but over the weekend, you didn't have that summer feeling when it was 45 degrees. You didn't have that summer feeling here. You had it in South Carolina with Michael. You had it in Florida. Kip Schmiemann was in Florida.
Oh, really?
It was 90, yeah. But he didn't have it in D.C.
Not so much here.
A single stick of Liquid IV makes ordinary hydration extraordinary. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. It's the number one powdered hydration brand in America. Liquid IV has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. One stick of Liquid IV mixed with 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It has 8 vitamins and nutrients, plus it's non-GMO. It's free from gluten, dairy, and soy. No artificial colors or sweeteners. And now there are 4 delicious sugar-free flavors, white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime.
Mm.
You, what was the one you like?
I've really settled on strawberry. The strawberry
that's
one
your
is
favorite one.
Yeah, I think that's become my favorite one. Yes.
All right. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and you use the code TONYK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using the promo code TONYK at liquidiv.com. Use the code, people.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Collars and Co. Reed. They sent me three shirts.
Oh, that's right.
They were really pretty.
Yes.
I have not yet worn them. I haven't. You need to wear them under a sweater. I mean, if you're going to go out, you can't wear them under a vest because they are short sleeves. I mean, you can, but the whole purpose is to wear them under a sweater. And I haven't worn them yet. And I was looking.
Avoid that bunch.
Yes. I don't have that many sweaters anymore that, you know, the traditional either V-neck or crew neck sweater, which
yeah, the crew neck
on top of which they're going to look great.
Right.
Right.
Yes, they will.
Under which rather not. No, the sweater would be on top, but I haven't gotten to that yet. And I look at them and they're really
How'd
nice.
How they feel?
They feel great.
Yeah,
they're really nice.
They're nice colors.
The Tattersall in particular, I really like. Are you tired of uncomfortable dress shirts and shirts that bunch up under a sweater? You really have to check out Collars & Co., maker of the Dress Collar Polo. Their shirts are four-way stretch. They're buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them. So they give you the dress shirt look, but with the extremely comfortable polo feel. It means you can wear them with anything. Under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. I love the notion of elevated polo. You know, it used to be the word was upgrade, but upgrade got so common that it's now elevated. They're great for the office, the golf course, or for a night out. The collars don't flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. So if you're looking for a performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com and use the promo code TONY for 15% off any purchase of $100 or more. That's a good deal. That's a good deal. Use the code.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Harper's. Rich Roberts of Provo, Utah sends this, saying, I flushed the mouse after failing to promptly send two of the new songs from Harper's sophomore album, What Do We Do Now?, released on April 4th. It continues Harper's unique sonic blend of Americana, Southwestern rock and roll, and soft psych pop. Wow. This is called Asleep at the Wheel. And we got an email from Jacob Beck, the singer and songwriter, principal songwriter of Harper's, saying we can use this, right?
Yes.
May 3rd, Logan, Utah, at the Y Fest and the Urban Lounge in Salt Lake City on May 9th and May 31st. They'll be there with the hockey team.
Yes,
because
they
feature Coyotes.
Feature of the Coyotes.
Yeah, that's there. They follow the Coyotes around. Speaking of the Coyotes, here's an Arizona resident. This is Michael Wilbon. I couldn't watch all eight. I woke up this morning to find out that the last game was great. The best game.
Only good one. Only
I
good
missed
game.
It.
Well,
yeah. I missed it completely. It was the
really
only game that was close and down to the wire, and that was Oklahoma City and New Orleans. But if I'm not mistaken, all eight home teams won?
Yes. All eight home teams, not all eight favorites.
Right.
Because Dallas was favored on the road in game one. So
really?
Seven of the eight faves won.
They got killed. Dallas got killed.
They did. Dallas.
They were down 30 in the first half.
Well, there were a couple of teams. There were, you know, this is interesting. And I, you know, give credit to somebody it was our great friend on PTI, Kendrick Perkins, who said, I'm sitting next to him, and he said it about 9 a.m. He said, you know what? This is 9 a.m. Saturday. And he said, home court is a real thing, which it isn't in baseball.
No.
It is a thing in football, but it's not nearly this severe, and it isn't at all in the NHL.
No.
So in the other two of the sports, it doesn't even matter, right? But in the NBA, as Kendrick said, he goes, there are places where it is absolutely intimidating and difficult to play. Oklahoma City is one of them. Now, they only won by a bucket.
That's right.
But it's unbelievably difficult. So of the places to play, the place that really doesn't matter is L.A. I mean, not for them, not for the Clippers, moving into their own place. But you know the Garden is difficult to play. You've been there a million times in your life. You know that Philadelphia, when they get there, is a difficult place to play. You know Boston, how difficult it is to play there. So these series have started, except for the Clippers, and I would say Minnesota, my God. And I know this from 2004. I was there when Kevin Garnett led that team to its only conference finals ever, that franchise. And I, you know, Oklahoma City and Minnesota may be the two most difficult places to play in these playoffs. And New Orleans is right up there, too. So I don't know, Tony. I don't know what it means. You always say don't draw conclusions.
Not
after
from game one.
Just
nope.
Wait. Right. So I'm taking your advice here. I'm heeding your advice. I'm going to hold off.
Yeah. Now, my feeling is that if, for example, the home teams win all eight and they all go 2-0, it's going to be unlikely that more than one team comes back and wins 4 out of 5, even if
right.
one team
right.
wins 4 out of 5.
Now, how many of those eight do you think will actually win game two?
I don't know.
I'm going to go down this. I'm going to say it's only 3 of them.
Okay. I would say this, that these games, they could not hold your interest. They were blowouts. They were just...
Well, it depends on what you're interested in. I mean, if you're just interested in a close game, no. There's no arguing that. If you're interested in seeing the great young players in this league now, great ones, and they are going to replace Steph Curry and LeBron James, because that's just how it goes.
That's right.
And they're not, and I'm not saying they're as good as either one of those two, or they ever will be, but they're great. You watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you realize you're watching a great player. Obviously, we know that about Joker. When you watch Anthony Edwards torched Phoenix. He took a blowtorch to 2 Hall of Famers at least. And Kevin Durant played great and then said, I'll guard him. Kevin Durant did something noble, old school. He said, oh, I got him. I got him. I know I'm his idol. I got him. And Anthony Edwards said, well, have some of this. Have some of this. Have 18 in the third quarter. Look, you know, all year I've been telling you, this kid is the real deal. He's not just the real deal in terms of, okay, he's a good player. Tony, look, I hesitant I am to compare anybody favorably to Michael Jeffrey Jordan. You know how hesitant I am to do that. I am loath to do that. I did it about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And let me just say this without revealing too much. I have confirmation now that I did the right thing. I have confirmation that, yes, that comparison is valid.
Well, there's only one person that can confirm that, so we'll all take a guess as to who that would be.
Yeah, but just so if you're watching, if you're interested in watching development of these people and the performances of them, then you get an eyeful. You do, because you're young. There's young guys out there. People don't know who Jalen Williams is. They don't. They don't know who Jalen Williams is unless you are following professional basketball because he plays in Oklahoma City. And so there's stuff to be interested in. The games were not close, too many of them. I hope they, you know, I hope they tighten up because I'm going, okay, let me turn on. So I watched a lot of golf this weekend because of that.
Yeah.
Because games were 30-point games. I watched NASCAR yesterday because Michael Jordan was in it. His car was in it and won. I watched some other women. I watched Nelly Korda because I watched Nelly Korda and I know her and, find her fascinating. So there was other stuff to watch, but those stars I mentioned, they're worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah, I watched a whole bunch of things here and there and turned away here and there from other things. And I opened the show and I talked a lot about Nelly Korda. You know Nelly Korda. You've been in her company.
Yes.
We both agree that you should not invoke the name Caitlin Clark.
No,
you just can't
no need
do it.
To do that.
But what Nelly Korda is doing is historic.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah. When you're in there, when the only names on the list are Nancy Lopez and Annika Sorenstam,
yes.
Then come on now.
Yeah.
Women's college basketball, by the way, if people want to get crazy with these comparisons, is 10 minutes old.
Yes.
Women's golf, you know, Nancy Lopez is my age. She did this stuff 40 years ago.
Yes.
So, and Annika Sorenstam is, you know, I'm not old enough to bring, you know, Babe Diedrich.
Zaharias. Babe Diedrich and Zaharias.
Babe Diedrich and Zaharias into the conversation. But, come on. I mean, Nelly Korda has a personality, is engaged, is bright and funny, and she's a really cool person. She is involved. Like my man Colin Morikawa, you know how much I like him, and others, Danielle Kang's another one, in sort of diversity in golf, saying, okay, you want to grow this sport? You want to grow it? Then let's appeal to more people than followed it the first 100 years in this country. Let's do that. And they asked me to be involved in that. Grant Thornton is really heading it.
And I said, yeah, of course. I mean, my life has changed because of golf and inclusion. And so Nelly Korda is at the forefront of that, and she's I root for her out loud, openly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a great athletic family, and she's, yeah, you cannot, it doesn't mean much to the average person, but you cannot emphasize enough, she has put herself on a level with the greatest. The greatest.
Yes. You know, and certainly modern times, the two greatest. And she's got a chance to go for six. I don't know the next time she's going to tee it up. I know she's teeing it up next week after a major. You may take a week off or two. So I'll have to look that up today. But, I'm really interested in watching, and I hope she's on something that most people can see. You had to stream it yesterday. It was like on ESPN Plus or something.
I watched it. I watched it on NBC. It was on NBC.
Was the last round on NBC? Okay, I'm thinking maybe earlier rounds, and I'm sitting in a
maybe earlier, but I watched NBC.
TVs,
I watched
so
NBC
maybe,
and good, watched Nelly Korda, and the men's golf was on CBS, and that was in delay for a long period of time. And then the other thing is, and you'll appreciate this too, Scottie Scheffler is about to put himself in a historic position, right?
Yes, and Scottie Scheffler... It's interesting because, you know, the person who held down number one off and on for the last 15 years changed the way we watch sports, period, Tiger Woods.
Yep.
And we were fascinated with him from the time he was a freshman at Stanford. That is not the case with Scottie Scheffler. Just isn't. He chooses, I say chooses, maybe that's the wrong word. That's he's living to who he is. But there's nothing to be fascinated with for most of us. Maybe some people will find him that. But, yeah, he's out front. He's the lead dog at a time when the most interesting characters, I think, are playing on the Saudi tour. And that would be Koepka and Rahm. And I know Dustin Johnson is sort of done.
He's done.
You know, but there are people on that, the people on that tour, in some ways, other than Rory and a couple, they're more interesting. They are. And so I don't know what that means, that Scottie Scheffler is at the top and he's playing so well.
He's playing great.
If you had yesterday, between watching Nelly Korda and watching Scottie Scheffler, this was no decision. This was a walkover for me. I told him, that's nice you guys put the golf on for me. Take Scottie Scheffler off.
Yeah, well, you know Nelly Korda. And Nelly Korda is actually going for something historic, whereas Scottie Scheffler is in the process of that. I have a basketball question for you, and I don't know the answer, but you mentioned Kendrick Perkins before, and he always says this, and Tim Legler always says this, and I don't ever get an explanation, which is why role players play better at home. Why?
Because they're not good enough to be stars.
Well, why are they better at home?
Because they're comfortable. And if you're a 5 or 4 on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of talent and wherewithal and resourcefulness, then you're going to play better where you're comfortable. The only people who truthfully say I'm fine on the road are the greatest players ever. Like, I mean, this conversation, I've had this conversation a million times in locker rooms with some of those players. With Michael Jordan, with Kobe Bryant, with Magic Johnson, they were fine on the road. Not only were they fine, their nerves were okay. They were, but they're also psychotic. You know. I mean, I know those. I knew Kobe pretty well. The other two, I know very well, and they're crazy. If by our standards, great crazy. You know what I mean? Brilliant crazy, genius crazy in what they do. So, no, the guys who are hanging on and trying to make a living and trying to be in the league and trying to have a job and trying not to be a DNP coach's decision, those guys are going to play when they're more comfortable, where they're more comfortable, which is at home.
Okay.
I never understood it.
I never understood it.
I mean, what's not to understand? The people who, in any industry, the stars of it are capable of going out and doing whatever they need to do under any circumstances. But that's not the rank and file person, not in any industry, banking, education, the sports writing, so this to me is very, inexplicable, and Kendrick's right about that. Just look at every game. Now, Tony, a guy can get you one game. Like Keegan Murray, and this is what he – I don't know if you were quoting Kendrick on Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray had that great game to get Sacramento to the next round of playing. But he wasn't going to go do that in New Orleans. Because if he did do that in New Orleans, then he'd be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
He'd be a star.
Right. And he, by the way, there's some late bloomers who learn how to do that. But like Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis is a guy who was a role player for, I don't know, 5-6 years in Chicago. He gets traded. But he gets to practice against Antetokounmpo every day. He gets better. He's more confident. So maybe you can late bloom into that. There are people who did. Michael Cooper, who's going to the Hall of Fame. Michael Cooper became one of those guys later in his career. But that ain't the normal path. It's usually, you know who the stars are, the guys who are on the road. It's like, follow me.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Go to sleep.
All right, Tom.
Take a nap.
Will do.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls, we will come back. Pat Forte will join us when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Blue Nile read. Getting engaged is special for so many reasons. You get to plan the perfect proposal, celebrate the love you've built so far, and look forward to the love you'll build for the rest of your lives. The only part that's not so special, shopping for an engagement ring if you don't know what you're doing. That's where BlueNile.com comes in. BlueNile.com is the original online jeweler. Since 1999, they've helped millions of couples create their perfect engagement ring. With Blue Nile, you can create a bigger, more brilliant piece than you can imagine at a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler. They're committing to ensuring the highest ethical standards are observed when sourcing diamonds and jewelry. When you make a lifelong commitment, so does Blue Nile. You get guaranteed service and repair for life. And don't worry, your secret is safe. Every Blue Nile order is insured and arrives in packaging that won't give away what's inside. And Blue Nile offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee with guaranteed free shipping and returns. Right now, you can get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with the code TONYK at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with the code TONYK at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com. Use the code, people.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Rosetta Stone read. You're looking to learn a new language. Maybe you want to be able to say flush the mouse in any language you choose. That's great. Oh, that's why you should check out Rosetta Stone.
I looked it up in French. I think it's Rancer le Souris or something like
that. There you go. Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users. They offer lessons in 25 languages, Italian, Chinese, Dutch, just to name a few. Their fast language acquisition immerses you in many ways. There are no English translations, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Plus, they use an intuitive process that lets you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences, and it's all designed for long-term retention. Rosetta Stone's speech recognition has a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. You want the right pronunciation. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's also really convenient with both desktop and app options with an audio companion, and you'll have the ability to download lessons offline. It's an amazing value. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips you might take and all your language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off, which is a steal, kids. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, listeners to this high-quality podcast can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. So visit rosettastone.com/Tony. That's 50% off on limited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem, tough to read, I get tired, I'm old. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/Tony today.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Once again, this is from Harper's new album, What Do We Do Now? This is a song called Give It a Little Time. Michael, if people like Harper's want to send in their original music to have it played on the show, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And far be it from me to give advice to any musical group, but maybe change your name to H-A-R-P-U-R.
Yes, I was going to mention that. Harper, you should name yourself after Harper College.
Yes.
Not after the more common H-A-R-P-E-R is if you just played the harp. Harper, another British ER name, Walker, Baker, Harper.
Miller.
Yeah, they're all...
At least you led with Walker.
Yeah, I did. I led with him. I love him. Pat Forty joins us now. And so I want to talk about Duke, but I want to get to Duke after the first thing, because I want to take advantage of your roots in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. The naming of Mark Pope as the head coach, now that Calipari has left to go to Arkansas, how was that received? And do you think it was received that way simply because he's a grad, or does his coaching record indicate that he would have been a legitimate candidate at Kentucky?
If he weren't a grad, no, he would not have been received that well. And at first, it actually was not received well by a lot of people. You know, Kentucky, I think, felt like it was basically entitled to hire a national championship winning coach.
Yes.
And tried very hard to get Scott Drew. And also, I think, inquired about Billy Donovan and Danny Hurley, and got none of those. And instead of getting a national championship coach, they got a guy who's never won an NCAA tournament game. However, Pope does have ties to the program, absolutely knocked it out of the park with the introduction, as far as bringing back all of his a lot of his 1996 national championship teammates and a lot of other Kentucky greats, and hitting all the notes I think Kentucky fans wanted to hear after being tired of the John Calipari era.
You know,
this program has existed for a long time.
Yeah.
That we've won championships, et cetera. We're gonna get players who want to be here. Can he coach?
Yeah.
Yes, he can coach.
Okay.
Can he win a championship? TBD.
He's
won a lot of games, but he hasn't won a championship.
That's fair. Calipari, I think somebody told me yesterday he took Kenny Payne with him to Arkansas.
He did.
Yeah. What do we make of that? What do we make of Calipari in Arkansas? In Arkansas. What do we make of that?
This was an escape hatch. This was Calipari basically admitting that he can't do it anymore at Kentucky.
Right.
That, you know, his plan wasn't going to work. He needed to get out. He needed to go somewhere else. Arkansas is very excited to have him. Having Kenny Payne, whatever. I mean, people at Louisville are rolling their eyes like, really?
Yeah.
Anybody wants Kenny Payne anymore?
Yeah.
So it's a reboot, and we'll see if it's successful. But nobody at Kentucky was sad John Calipari left.
It's amazing. He won a national championship. It amazes me. It really does. It amazes me. All right. Let me get to Duke. Duke is alleged to have, reputed to have, the best recruiting class of the year. They've had that here and there. It's not uncommon for Duke to have that. As a result, it seems to me, or maybe I'm connecting the wrong dots, but as a result, they've lost a bunch of players. Like veteran people just left. What do you make of all this?
Yeah, that was pretty startling. I mean, I expected some people to leave and go pro, which a couple of them did. And then maybe a couple others in the portal. But they lost a ton of guys to the portal.
Yeah.
And part of that for some of them could be, look, the new guys that are coming in might be better than us, and we're not going to play anyway. You wonder if there's something else afoot there. You know, people don't just leave Duke en masse. That's unusual. Now, in this day and age, to a degree, everyone leaves everywhere en masse.
Yes.
I mean, it is absolute total, you know, liquidity of rosters from year to year. But still, that surprised me, because I thought, you know, getting to a regional final where they played very poorly in the regional final, but getting to the regional final and seemingly, you know, having this great class coming in, that all signs were that Duke is going to get back to where it was with Mike Krzyzewski. And now we'll see. I mean, again, as John Calipari proved over and over and over, a roster full of freshmen isn't necessarily a roster that's built to win championships.
I understand that. I understand, as you understand, that following a legendary guy is very, very difficult. Rarely are you successful if you are the next one. Does this bespeak any dissatisfaction with John Shire?
Maybe. I don't know. You know, I mean, nobody has come out and, like, said anything, but maybe their feet are doing the talking for them.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of people leaving. Again, it's pretty startling. You know, I mean, Jeremy Roach going to Baylor and Mark Mitchell transferring and some other, like, just moves that we're certainly unused to seeing. And does it say, I don't think Shire's good enough to get me where I want to go or get the program where we want to go? I don't know. But it certainly perked up my antenna, like, what exactly is going on there, too.
How good is the class coming in, supposedly?
Extremely good. I mean, Cooper Flagg, a lot of people think is, you know, one of the next great basketball players, certainly great American basketball players, that he'll be the number one pick in 2025, you know, and could be the best player in college basketball next year. But again, all right, you know, is he absolutely ready to go and be a dominant star immediately? We'll find out. Other excellent players in that class, too. They've got size. They've got athleticism. The thing, they may be a shooter or two short. So we'll see if, you know, they can get players out of the portal too, although getting people into Duke is not as easy as getting them into other places. So,
right.
But the class coming in is, you know, number one in the country and extremely well-regarded.
What I would say to people out there is I would use that kid, Connect, the Tennessee kid.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, you don't have to just look at the top 20 programs as who's good enough to help you if they come transfer in. Like, that kid went to, by my standards, marginal places, right?
Oh, yeah. He was junior college in University of Northern Colorado.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, and look at the guys that were the best players on Alabama's Final Four team. Mark Sears went to Ohio University. And two of the starters on UConn's team, one started at East Carolina and one started at Loyola Maryland. You know, I mean, yeah, it's amazing to me. First of all, apparently how many bad evaluations there are of players out there. And maybe that was part of the pandemic when a lot of these kids were coming out. But also the ability for players to step up from a lower level to a higher level and be really good players. There's a lot of good basketball players in the United States. That's what was my takeaway from this last basketball season.
Yeah, it gets me, like those people who make a living out of saying this guy is a 3-star, this guy's a 4-star, this guy's a 5-star. I want to say maybe you don't know what you're talking about, right? Maybe you don't know. Because these kids come from marginal places and light it up on the highest level of major college basketball.
I honestly would think that this has been a bad development for the recruiting industry.
Yes.
You know, like I think they truly had gotten better in terms of their evaluation of players, but boy oh boy, this is a bit of a repudiation. People that they didn't rank or that they ranked really lowly are all of a sudden not just stars in the college basketball world, but like, I mean, they're going to get, like, Dalton Connect's probably going to be a lottery pick. You know, where did people miss on him? I know he grew a lot, but still, like, his path just suggests that yeah, there's still a lot of guesswork when it comes to recruiting.
Yeah, because there's 3 or 4 people in the whole country that do this, and people assign to them biblical knowledge. And maybe they don't have it. Right, Pat? Maybe they don't.
Maybe they don't. You're right.
That's
for everyone paying for your recruiting service, you're not getting the Bible. You're just getting someone's opinion.
Yeah. So I read, I don't know what state it was, but some state, probably a southern state, but I don't know, passed a law okaying NIL money directly to kids. You must be more familiar about this than I am. How many states have done that? And if this is true, what possible reason could there be for the NCAA to exist?
There's so many different bills and so many different laws now that allow things of that variation. It's kind of hard to keep track of them. You know, state of Virginia is one that had the latest thing that, that would allow colleges to pay NIL directly to players. The NCAA has been, you know, so completely marginalized in terms of rule structure and then rules enforcement that, you know, I don't know where they find their niche, except that, you know, everybody's kind of waiting for some middle ground to appear in terms of transfer rules and compensation rules once the NCAA finishes getting sued into oblivion. yes. You know, like once we know how much they owe various entities and they pay that off and we have a decision like employee, employer, revenue sharing, those sorts of things, then I think they can go back and say, okay, let's redo the NCAA rule book. But at this point, I mean, nobody is paying attention to whatever the rules are in any capacity. Connor Stallions may still end up getting Michigan in trouble, but that's a case where it's not involving paying anybody anything. So that's kind of a different deal.
You know, this stuff goes on in high school. You know that, right? Like these academies offer cash money to the parents of players who were in 9th and 10th grade.
Yeah, well, and you know what? They were doing it before. It was just under the table.
Right, now it's...
There was a reason players were going to Oak Hill and wherever. You know.
These aren't real schools, are they? They're not real schools.
Some maybe, some probably not. No, I mean, you know, there's been a whole lot of pop-up schools for sure.
And they pop up just to play sports.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's, like, if you want the biggest, you know, abdication of, like, responsibility, that's it. You know, paying players to come play basketball is fine, but not educating them in any way?
Not at all.
That's the real travesty.
No, I mean, no kid is going to get out there and say, yeah, I had a choice. I could take Greek or Latin as my requirement. No, you're not going to hear that sentence. It's just not going to happen. It's discouraging. Plug your podcast for us, Pat.
College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel, Ross Dellinger. We will be taping later today, so you can listen to Mr. Tony, and then you can listen to us.
Wonderful. Thank you, Pat, as always.
My pleasure.
Pat Thank 40, you. Boys and girls. He's wonderful. He helps us out all the time. We'll take a break. We will have email and jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Etsy Reed. I'm here to tell you that there's no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone in any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. There's a lot of pressure around gifting. If you have a hard time thinking of gift ideas for the special people in your life, and you get super stressed trying to find that perfect thing, now with Gift Mode on Etsy, you can search hundreds of gifting personas and find so many incredible items. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I was.
That's Tom Mueller of the Boone County High School Drumline in Florence, Kentucky. There's a lot going on.
It's a complex.
It's a lot. That's very nice. You want to do the Bethesda bagel ad?
Yes, yeah, got the bagel sandwiches today. Unfortunately, not wrapped in the foil. I know that's
Why are they doing this?
Might as well fast forward to Friday.
Why are they doing this today?
I don't know. But we love them. You will as well. Just go to Bethesda
bagels.
Do you
say to them, why don't you put them in tin foil?
Well, I didn't realize it until I got in my my automobile. And I thought, well, I'd probably rather be on time.
One of my better finds, single sheets of Reynolds wrap.
Just come on.
Yeah, I'll bring him in the car from now on. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in
he
the
likes
DC
half the sandwich at a time.
Right. That's what I do, half, and then I save half.
Pop on in with your own tinfoil, and you'll be thrilled.
I've basically stopped eating in my life. That'll just about do it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me just say, And I've got to do this the way it's got to be read in the way the Chantels did it. Maybe if I pray every night, you'll come back to me. And maybe if I cry every day, you'll come back to stay. Maybe. This is a great song.
It is.
Nigel had never heard this song. Asked me about it. And I said, you never heard Maybe by the Chantels? He came up with a version from Janis Joplin.
Which is...
And she kills it.
Very good.
But it's not as...
It's not the Chantels.
It's not the Chantels.
No, they just...
It's not.
It's fantastic.
Thanks to our guests today, Michael Wilbon and Pat Forty. Thanks as well to today's sponsors. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Odyssey. If you get the show through Apple, please leave us a review. Let's get some emails here. From Ashton Wingate in Queens, New York. Losses of $183 million. Wins of $142 million. Not exactly scaling Mount 500. Hopefully one of the job requirements for Otani's next interpreter is that they be better than a monkey. It's a lot of losses.
It's
a lot of losses.
$163 million.
From Nathan Ackerhelm
back.
In Charlotte, North Carolina, who writes us all the time. Given that Mr. Tony got a kick out of the Chipotle and Blacksburg reviews on Wednesday's pod, here's two more for your enjoyment. My Oma, O-M-A, what is an Oma?
Maybe like grandmother? Yes.
Okay, my Oma moves faster than these people. The employees at this location look dead inside. None of them smiled even once. I was third in line and 30 minutes later got my food. Guac was frozen, yuck, rice clumpy, peppers barely cooked. Bring on the AI workers because this was trash.
They don't even have freezers at
Chipotle. And then walked into the restaurant to see an employee eating something over the containers of toppings. He gave me an irritated look and spoke to me really slowly as if I was stupid. Very rude. Not impressed. From Jeff Harris in Bend, Oregon. Is Bend where...
You ask us every time.
That's Bend is where it is,
sure.
Right? Bend and Dunes is in Bend? Or
this
is
the waiting for our trip.
All right. Michael described the Bay Bridge as elegantly as if he were previewing a dogleg left 420-yard par 4. I look forward to his show on the Bridge Channel. Also, is this the new game, Mailbag Records? Mine is abysmal, 4 for 38.
Oof.
5 for 38 if you read this. My stuff is clearly neither smart nor funny. I'm in rum-dum territory. From G. Daddy in Mid-Michigan. The woman to whom I'm related by marriage and I will be vacationing this summer in the Chesapeake Bay region. We'll also be in Rehoboth for a few days and kindly request any must-eats and must-dos that you and Michael could recommend. I just think if you want pizza...
Casa de Leo.
Casa de Leo's really good. It's a lot of good restaurants there.
Yeah.
People go to the Henlop and Oyster... I've never been. The Henlop and Oyster House. Federal Fritter is fabulous. You know, Federal Fritter, which is right on Rehoboth Avenue, is fabulous. You should go there. From Bob O'Connor, you and the whole crew on the TK show were invited to the wedding of longtime little Bob O'Connor and the soon-to-be woman to whom I will be married, Pam Judy, to be held on Friday, April 19th. Did we miss this?
We might miss this one.
We missed this.
Yes.
At St. James Catholic Church in Charlestown, West Virginia at 3. The groom, now 78 years old, is an author who often worked with Nigel at Chatter to produce the podcast, The Chronicles of the American Civil War.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yes.
Mazel tov, Bob.
Yes. The couple will be... I know Bob.
Yeah, you do.
I loved Bob. He's got mad. Wow. The couple will be residing in a lovely home along the par 4 third hole on the Locust Hill Golf Course in Charlestown, the home being a virtual magnet for wayward golf balls. The groom would be happy to host any of you for a round of golf anytime you're in the area. We're happy for him.
Absolutely.
We like him.
Yes.
That's really good. From Jim Matheson, who says, my name is Jim. Okay.
Hi, Jim.
Hello, Jim. I live just north of Albany, New York, and I host the Jim M. Radio Show Monday nights at 6 p.m. on SUNY Albany's radio station, WCDB. This is my first email to your show. I've been a fan of yours since the sports reporters on ESPN Sunday mornings. I just wanted to mention that starting on April 20th, there will be 10 consecutive palindrome days on the calendar. I don't know if this has ever happened before, but I thought you would like to know. To me, you're the grandfather I never had. How wonderful is that? So what is today? Today's the 22nd.
Today's
so it's 4/22/24. Yes.
Yes.
It's 10 in a row. When did it start?
This is the info we need. Yeah, 4/20. I think it's 4/20 started.
4/20 is when it started. So we're in the third day of it?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's very exciting.
Fantastic. From Tom Levy in Arlington, Virginia.
That's Bootsy. He loves
a while
numbers.
Back, after finishing dinner in Clarendon, we stopped by the Carvel on Wilson Avenue for a small cone. Given your experience at the Burger King on Connecticut Avenue, which I had parenthetically no longer exists, I just wanted to give you the heads up that a small cone will set you back about $8. Well, that's more
Not
than
possible.
I would have thought. I would have gone as high as four, but not
$8.
$8 seems like a lot. From Howard Krasner. After hearing your podcast about frozen custard, it brought back a memory of a flight back to D.C. from New York when I found myself sitting next to Tom Carvel. Everybody meets this guy.
Carvel is everywhere.
He was bringing a birthday cake to the Madison Hotel for the 75th birthday of Bob Hope. Whoa, I told him that I had my car at the airport and would be happy to drive him there. He was happy to accept my offer. Unfortunately, when I dropped him off, he didn't invite me in. Does that count as flushing the mouse? No. You did the best you could.
Yeah.
He didn't, you know, he probably... He had Bob Hope waiting. Come on.
So Tracy driving the flowers out to our wedding himself.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Bill Isaacson.
Can't trust anyone.
Bill Isaacson, who's now signing Chuck and Roxy, the wedding episodes. I have some news for emailer Dan Baker of Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, where my grandparents, Tracy, on my mother's side, lived. Dan's email claimed that Al's Diner, featured in Happy Days, was modeled on Leon's Custard Stand on South 27th, around where my Uncle Jack, the dentist, lived and worked. I have to say that Mr. Baker's email definitely flushed the mouse. First of all, there was no Al's Diner in Happy Days. Happy Days featured Arnold's Drive-In, and Al was the owner and cook in later seasons of the show. More important is Mr. Baker's nonsense origin story for Arnold's, owned by Al. I was always told growing up that Arnold's originated with Gillis frozen custard on Blue Mound, the over 85-year and oldest frozen custard stand in Wisconsin. This was important family lore because Gillis, was run by the Linscott family, who were cousins of my grandmother on my father's side. That grandmother was a Moran. By the time I hit 18, or maybe a little younger, I learned that it was a common argument in Milwaukee bars as to which custard stand was the actual source material for Arnold's Drive-In. For years, I defended Gill's in these arguments, but after the invention of the internet, I was crushed to learn that the co-creator of Happy Days from Whitefish Bay attributed the origin of Arnold's to the old Milky Way frozen custard stand on Port Washington Road. Out of sheer spite, I now pass on this true origin story and the disappointment I once experienced to Mr. Baker and his precious Leon's custard. One more thing, Tom Linscott of Gills was also the first golfer in Washington to notch 4 state medal golf tournament wins. So Leon can eat that news too. This is bitter. This is so right. Bitter by Bill
venom.
Isaacson.
Yes.
From Andy Rummel in Lafayette, Indiana. I've been a longtime watcher of PTI and started listening to your podcast during the past few years. I notice you use the word rum-dum occasionally, and not in a positive way. Can you explain the rum-dum thing? Since I was a kid, my friend's dad always called me rum-dum. And for the past 30 years, I thought it was a cool nickname because of my last name. Rummel, sure, Rummel. But maybe I should rethink the nickname I was given many years ago.
You may want
yes.
to.
Yeah, a rum-dum's not good.
No, it's
You're
not.
A rum-dum. It's like it's not good. Scott Freeland in Pasco, Washington. I teach 7th and 8th grade history in Enterprise Middle School in West Richland, Washington. My students were trying to teach me middle school slang words for our upcoming Teachers Dress Like Students Spirit Day. Talking with one class, I said, I hope I don't flush the mouse and remember some of these words. No one in the room said anything. Oh, well, I tried to get the middle schoolers on board, but no luck yet. If you want a list of current middle school slang words, I'd be happy to send them your way. I think I'm afraid of them. Wow, this is the second one from Tom Levy. You put two in the same thing.
Wow.
Got this text from his son Sam at the University of Washington. Just chatted with the lead singer of the Rat Boys about the Tony Kornheiser show. The Rat Boys played a show last week at the school's Memorial Union, the connective tissue.
How about that?
You know. But he wrote the collective tissue. It's the connective. You're a student at Wisconsin. You got to get the words right. From Doc Bradley in Vermont. I'm currently standing in the Tennis Hall of Fame in Newport, Rhode Island. I could care less about tennis, but I'm a fan of Halls of Fame or Hall of Fames. It usually should be Halls of Fame. You should take a trip to come see this. All I know about tennis I learned from your show, and the names I recognize in here is because you've talked about them. Mr. Tony, you can probably afford to stay in Newport. I can only pay for it because I'm at a political science conference the University of Vermont is paying for. Sorry, Nigel, you might have to commute from Providence. Thanks to all of you for helping me make a connection to a game I pay no attention to and making the visit meaningful.
And I should point out, if you can find a Newport Creamery, get a milkshake there called an Awful Awful.
It's
the
good?
Greatest thing, yes.
From Andrew Ross in Tucson, Arizona. On Friday's show, you played a mailbag jingle sung by my brother, John Ross. You then expressed your belief that John was a golf pro and his younger brother, and the one with much better hair, as his younger brother. I can avow to you that he is not a golf pro. Nevertheless, we will be playing together at Bandon Dunes. That's in Bend, Oregon, isn't it?
Once again.
Right before Christmas this year. You and that. Michael are welcome to join.
Bandon, Oregon.
Joe Rudden, Mount Airy, Maryland. Courtney. Don't know her. Just wanted to keep the streak alive. Do I understand that?
That's for Courtney Blackstone.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yes.
From Rob Lyerly. The Masters may have had better ratings than the NBA on the final Sunday, but the NBA crushed them in China. Yes. Yes.
That's really Wilbon. What matters.
That's a Wilbon thing. Here's a haiku from Shad. For wind warnings. Hands at 10 and 2. Center lane and white knuckles. Bay Bridge. No problem. From Amy Oberhelman. I hope I have that right. I listened to your plight about holes in the elbow of your favorite cashmere sweaters. I'm wearing a cashmere sweater now that also at the bottom has three different moth holes. What is it about my sweaters and my house that moths find so attractive?
Feels targeted.
And by
now.
The way, it's like $15 per hole to fix.
What happened to that special trunk?
The cedar chest. Yeah. Even in there, moths get in there. How do they do that? I listened to your plight about holes in the elbow of your favorite cashmere sweater. Well, I'm aware you have lovely replacements. Parkway Cleaners in Bethesda can repair holes and tears in cashmere sweaters. They even pick up at your house. I've had several repaired over the years, and they do a fabulous job. Oh, wait, you have to go online to place the pickup order. Maybe they will take a call. Ask Michael to help. The person I'm related to by marriage introduced me to you years ago, telling me about the Littles of Cheesery and Nigel, celebrating 10 years as a listener and 20 years of marriage. That's nice. From Jordan Chance, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, but formerly of Lindenhurst, New York, on the north shore of Long Island. I'm taking a drive south on I-95 in a few weeks. Any chance you or the team could recommend a fast, casual establishment that serves Mexican food in the Blacksburg area? Any place that might have beans, cheese, salsa, steak, chicken, guacamole, or anything I'd like? I'll hang up unless that's funny. Yeah, call Greg on that one. And from Paulie Coconuts.
We love Paulie.
In Winchester, Virginia.
Yes.
We will be seeing you or Michael out here in Winchester for the Shenandoah Valley Apple Blossom Festival this year. If not, I have two words for you. Grand Marshal next year. That should get you decent parking. As they say out here at this time of year, happy bloom. That's really nice. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
What's that, chicken? Every night is the chicken. Holy God almighty.
Dad.
Is it possible just once? Dad? You get Dad. Something to eat for dinner around here that's not the chicken?
Hey, Dad.
I'm just saying.
Dad.
Underneath the gun,
Make me feel.